Alrighty, I've been given official permission to start the fireside because Jeremy Jorringer has his beer, which is excellent. So now that he's got his beer, we're going to go ahead and get started. So here's the deal. First and foremost, I want people to recognize that we have been doing this now officially for a little bit more than a year. I think that this is the year anniversary of our idiot enemies getting together and announcing the thing that we told everyone they would be announcing. Last year. If you rejoined because you heard the sound of the horn, a little bit of a story time here for context. Of course, we knew that the enemy was going to get together and form the largest blue donut in the history of gaming because Pro God Legend can't keep his mouth shut. And thus, we were able to hear through the grapevine and through our spy network that this was coming. As you guys recall, we withdrew from Cloud Ring and we lost a couple Titans because we have so many Titans that you're always he's going to lose a couple Titans when you do a move up. And then, nevertheless, a little bit later, the treaty with Legacy expired and they attacked us exactly as we said that they were going to do. And apparently, despite the fact that we had this move up with all of those Titans coming back from Cloud Ring, they genuinely believed that they had more than us and that they would have almost 1,000 Titans to bring against us. And well, fast forward a year, and here we are. It's pretty fucking insane when you look at the entire scope of this shit show. And one of the things that I want to talk about today is that it's important to keep that perspective in mind. Right now, we're in a very good place because we're in a position where we are contained, and things are generally heading in a direction that we're happy with. You know, I'm not going to say everything is sunshine and roses, but it's pretty close to sunshine and roses here. Like I'm very pleased with the way in which we degraded the enemy's forces, and I'm very pleased with the way in which things have gone relatively according to plan. But as we are in this situation, and as we are in the containment phase, it's important to step back and look at this and recognize that this thing that we have been involved in for a year now, or in the cases of those Black Hand agents and people who were preparing for this before we announced the withdrawal from Cloud Ring, a little bit more than a year now, that this is one of the most unique fuckfests in the history of online gaming, right? There's good days, there's bad days, things go right, things go wrong. But let us never forget that here we are, a year into this fuckfest, fighting the entire goddamn galaxy all at the same time, right? And I want you guys to remind yourselves of that if you ever forget, in between ganking Rorquals, having them jump into our beacons, hunting every other brave fucking supercarrier that comes through, that we've been doing this for a year, fighting the entire galaxy all at the same time. And I think that you guys should feel free to jack yourselves off a little about that because holy fucking shit, if you zoom all the way back and look how long it's been. If you look at the start of this war, when the enemy was putting 3,300 pilots or more on the field against us, op after op after op, and then you see what they're doing today. They are in that position because you fought them. They are in that position because you went on the line. They are in that position because you refused to give up. Even if the entire galaxy came at you, you said, fuck you, no. I'm going to find my friends. I'm going to find anybody that was part of this thing that might be missing out and get them here such that they can man the fucking walls with us. And you did that. And that's why we are here. So the accomplishment, all this discussion on Reddit, and all this discussion on talk shows, it's always about personalities. It's like, oh, the Mitanni are really your pro god, or da-da-da-da-da-da, right? At the end of the day, the only reason why we are here and that we have survived and thrived is because of you glorious motherfuckers. A year fighting the entire galaxy. There has never been anything like this in the history of video games. There's been never anything like this in the history of the internet. What you motherfuckers have pulled off thus far, because it ain't over, thus far is something that is going to be studied for years, possibly decades at this rate, because EVE Online, it's a game where you get written up in history books and academics and grad students will write their theses on stuff that you guys have done. This is only possible because of you and your willingness to fight and your refusal to bend the knee to these fucking blue donut pubbies. So I want to thank you all. And remember, credit where it's due. The only reason why we are here is because you motherfuckers have managed to do this and held the fucking line for more than a year. And that's kind of a big deal. I think that, you know, it's an aspect of this war that gets lost in it is the sheer scale, the scope of it, and where things were 12 months ago versus where things are today. So what we want to talk about in terms of practicalities. As it stands right now, I'm pretty happy with the situation that we're looking at. We are contained in the 1DQ1 constellation. If I had to pick a place for the enemy to lose this war, the gates of Gundor is the place, right? I think one of the reasons why we're seeing such a drop-off in the PCU isn't just the fact that CCP is dumb and bad and has fucked things up with the scarcity thing, though that is a huge part of it, or that they are dumb and bad and have fucked things up with the cloaking nerf, though that is also part of it. But I think a real chunk of this is the fact that the Blue Donut has broken at the gates of Gundor. I'm kind of surprised that we stopped them at 3D. In terms of like war planning, I expected to stop them. I expected to win this, or I wouldn't have banked everything we had on this motherfucker. But I expected they would have at least gotten through maybe 3D or N8 or, you know, something. Like, they would have nibbled on the fucking constellation a little bit, as opposed to getting cockblocked so hard at the fucking gates of 3D that they had to make themselves another fucking excuse Keepstar. If you look through the history of the war, again, zooming all the way back for a year, that there have been a number of situations where our august foes have run out of ideas, and the only thing that they know how to do is to just drop an excuse Keepstar to make themselves feel good. I'm delighted that they did that with T5, and for all of the reasons why Initiative putting a Keepstar in 3-TAC-D was bad and dumb and wrong, and they talked about how dumb and wrong it was for us to put a Keepstar in 3D for a couple weeks, then they put a mirror one on the exact other side, and that was smart and good play and, you know, very good on them, amazing big brain strategic thought. As if we would be so dumb as to begin our fucking counterattack into 3D. I mean, into EV. It is so hilarious. I'm delighted that they're still doing it. I invite them to put down more crab stars that we can then blow up later. Regardless, things are going really well. I only have good things to say to people here, and then we'll take some questions. One of the things that I want to just continue to encourage is ganking the shit out of the puppies. Join NGSA. You guys have seen all of these fucking hood rat fleets that Keish and the gang have been sending out nonstop. And if you total up the amount of losses that the enemy has experienced, again, remember, this is the scarcity era, right? So suddenly when they're losing a supercarrier, or some brave guy losing a supercarrier, a brave guy losing a fucking Rorqual or something, good luck getting that back. I mean, some of them are rich, I guess. But regardless, I want to give some specific gold stars here. Keish, of course, obviously. Polish Pistol, Kimchi Love, Vex to Snipe. I don't know if I should say Vex to Snipe or Vex Snipe or what. Pipe. And our dear sweet boy, Luke Dwar. But you guys have been doing a fantastic job of ganking things, and we really want to encourage that. And I'm being informed by the ad that we are killing a Rorqual literally right now, FYI. So for those of you that are going to be listening to the Fireside later because you're busy killing one of these fucking Rorquals, high fives all around. Delve is safe. Delve is safe. If you're one of the hostiles listening to this, remember, Delve is safe. All right. So that's going great. Essentially, what I'm sure you've seen over the last little bit is that we're in a position where our enemies are now, those of us that are not infighting or accepting the fact that they have lost this war, they are busy talking about how either we're contained or they're talking about how we should be attacking T5Z. Excuse me. I was stuffing my face with breakfast here a second ago, and that just almost went down the wrong hole. Where was I? Containment and... Oh, so I've talked about this on previous Firesides, and you can see that the enemy is screaming about how we should be attacking T5CI. You can see that the enemy is talking about how we should be attacking them in a way that they want, in a way that they approve of. We are never going to dance the enemy's tune. That's one of the reasons why we're winning this thing and they're losing it. And I have said this before in Firesides, I'm just going to keep repeating it. The morale Keepstar situation and T5ZI and in YZ9, that's the enemy's Golden Bridge of Retreat. We are not going to be attacking those things until last, just so everybody knows, because I think that T5ZI is the best thing that has ever happened to us in this war, with the possible exception of M2 and some of the other greatest hits. It's a huge overreach, and I think it does really bad things to the enemy. So we want T5ZI Keepstar to stay as long as the enemy is here. That thing is going to die dead last. And I've said this on Firesides before. I just want to reiterate this to you guys, because unlike our enemy who blew up our Golden Bridge of Retreat, we are not complete and total dumbasses. So that's cool. I am delighted by the way in which we have been ganking the shit out of them. I'm delighted by the way in which Delve is perfectly safe, and they don't know what to do. At a fundamental level, they don't know what to do, because the only thing that our enemy really realizes what to do when shit's wrong is drop a morale keep star, maybe invent some sort of stupid doctrine like harpies or do something with Abaddons. And then what they like to do is they like to play against whatever I say on a fireside. And we noticed this a while back. It's something I should have noticed years and years ago. But the truth is that it was only really skull-fuckingly obvious to my poor, simple little mitten brain that after we published the whole thing about the Doom Clock, that if I just don't tell the enemy what our big plan is, they don't know what the fuck to do. If it's not spelled out on a fireside, they can't play against it. If I say, hey guys, we're going to do blah, 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 blah on a fireside, they will go, oh, that gives us something to do. That gives us something to respond to. The Mitanni said we're going to do that. And so we're going to stop him. We're going to stop goons. So after the Doom Clock situation, we simply stopped publishing what our plans were going to be. So we're not going to be saying, oh God, we're going to start a counteroffensive. We're not going to say we're going to do this. We're not going to say we're going to do that. We're going to do our thing. We're not going to give them any sort of free intel about what we're going to be playing against. What they're going to be playing against, and in the meantime, just keep murdering these guys. Just gank the living shit out of them every week. Every rate that they're going, their morale loss is significant enough that I think it is valuable for us to essentially just keep harassing them, keep ganking them, keep making them suffer outside of the gates of Fortress Delve. They finally got to Fortress Delve. Congratulations, dumbasses! And then they immediately shout and piss themselves and are looking for excuses and crying for the mods and the devs to save them. So great, high fives all around. Keep murdering them. Gank the puppies, join NGSA, and keep helping out. When you see these fleets going out with bombers and kikis and other fun things, get in on that shit, because it is scarcity eve. The puppies are running out of ISK, I believe, and that they also are running out of the capacity to replenish these kinds of capital losses, just because CCP has nerfed cap production into the fucking ground. Congratulations on killing that orc, by the way. Hail Satan. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Obviously, Delve is safe, and we are contained. I do want to give a brief shout out for everybody to for voting in the CSM. We're going to find out tomorrow, I believe, when who won what on the CSM silly season election. And then there's one other thing that I want to. Apparently, that guy died twice today. It's pretty fucking ridiculous. One of the other things that I was asked to herf about by dear old Angry Mustache. Let me bring this up. One of the things that the enemy is busy telling each other is that we are contained. And that, as part of us being contained, that they're going to try to starve us out of making ISK. Now, I don't know how or why or how viable that is. It's what they're talking about doing. And in about 10 minutes, I think that there's going to be a legacy town hall. So we're going to get the latest herf from them as to whatever their excuses are. But if you are concerned about ISK, or if ISK is an issue for some reason, I don't know. You know, again, this is a situation we've been in, functionally speaking, for a year now. But do check out the thread that I linked. There's a bunch of resources. We don't want anybody worried about ISK. We want to make sure that people are helping each other out. Same shit, different month in terms of grinding the puppies into a fucking fine paste and making sure that our own people are taken care of. So check that out. And if you need help, please ask for help. If you have questions, please ask questions. And speaking of asking questions, I'm going to go ahead and take some fireside questions, because we are so contained that I can just do Q&A without any sort of big, certainly, I guess. It's a fucking joke that they got here and they gave up so easily. Like they believed in their bullshit to the very fucking last. And it was only at this very end that they just. You know, they just lost the fucking plot. I mean, their strategy sucked to begin with. Thank God. I'm glad their strategy sucked, because if you're fighting the entire galaxy all at once for a goddamn year, you want them to fuck up. You know, let's not make it even more difficult for us. But goddamn. Alrighty, what do we got? How many times did our enemies do this shit? I don't know what shit you're talking about. There's been a variety of different history repeating itself situations here. One of those that we have learned ever since old school story time, since we do have so many people that rejoined from the Great War era. In the very early days of Goonfleet, we, of course, wanted to be good galactic citizens. We wanted to be good little boys and girls. We had, like, gotten ourselves, it was a big accomplishment to be on the Ascendant Frontier, like, diplomatic standings list, and we were, like, blue with Askin, and we were, like, finally going to be taken seriously as, like, real people in the galaxy. And then the moment that we touched Cloud Ring and actually started getting a seat at the table, then suddenly it became time for Bob to be offended about Tetsujin's signature, and you know, there are no goons, goodbye, and all that shit sort of came from there. So one of the things we have learned over the history of the last, ever since 2006, is that every 4 to 5 years, all of the pubbies will drop what they're doing to do exactly this. Now, in the Fountain War, they didn't use the extermination language, though they would have if they wanted to, I think, or if they thought that they could actually get rid of us. The Casino War, they didn't use the exterminate language, but the actions were always the same. And this time around, they just went full pro-god, and here we are. So, you know, this is just something that we have always baked into our Empire plans. We know that the pubbies will always try to get rid of us, no matter what we do, fair or unfair, they will always try to purge us, and so we are always baking that into our plans. So as we go about, when we do start official counter-offensive things, which is not going to be officially declared on a fireside, that's for fucking sure, I am excited about baking improved defenses into our plans. But we will burn that bridge when we come to it. One of the things that I've found highly entertaining is watching Vili try to make excuses for things that he said and things that Progod said. It has been pretty much all over our Eve. Instead of actually trying to purge 1DQ1 or deliver on all the promises that he made, he is busy trying to act like, oh, you just need to listen to the context of the what the games journalist said after my direct quote. What the games journalist wrote in the Polygon article that wasn't a direct quote, but him editorializing, is what was actually going on. Vili, being a thin-skinned little dick bitch, is desperate to get away from the failures and the consequences of the things that he said. He wrote a lot of fucking checks with his mouth that his ass can't cash, and here we are. So I find that particularly interesting. Just I've noticed that in the last couple of weeks, that little bitch is just desperate to get away from quotes of things that he himself said on town halls and to games journalists. So if you want to keep stabbing him with that, go do it, because he's a little bitch and we're never gonna let him forget it. And I think it's just funny. He could have just said, yeah, I said that, but nope, he's a bitch. There's a question here from Tripping Ted Tripping, which is a pretty good question about using small gangs, relative number of ships, blah, 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 with preventing them from depriving or mining in peace. Join in GSA. And join the, when you see a fleet pinged out for bombers, join it, because you're going to get a cap or a super cap kill. Any comment on the subtle differences between extermination and war of extermination explained by Vili in the Between Two Keepstars stream? You know, the funny thing is, I don't even know if that's a joke or not, because it sounds so fucking dumb. It's exactly the kind of thing that Vili would do. Look, here's one of the things. When you're dealing with a line by line, oh, I didn't really see that. Why don't you prove when I said that? One of the biggest little dick bitch moves that Mr. Fourth Place likes to make is he will try to drag people into arguments. But well, you prove when I said that. Why don't you prove when I said that? And you see this over and over again. That's his default state. Just attack him. He's a little bitch. He knows he's a little bitch, and he wants to drag you into some sort of dumb line-by-line argument, when the reality is you just give the little bitch the finger and say it doesn't matter what excuses you make. We don't care. We know what you said. We know what you tried to do, and we will never let anybody in this stupid fucking game forget it. Eat shit. That's how you deal with it. I love my Jordan Peterson impression. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. That's a good point. Let me see what else we got here. There are several questions about, are we going to strike jump gates? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that in terms of attack? I'm sure you guys know the drill by now, but I'm going to give you your free bingo bait. That would be a future plans question. All of these things about what we're going to be attacking or not attacking are things that we're not going to be revealing on a fireside. Your questions seem like they are all coming from a good place in terms of like, hey, that's a good idea. But it's a good idea to the point that we might already be doing it, one. And two, if we were, we would lie about it or deny it on the fireside. All right, let's see what we got. Shout out to the ADM boys. Yeah, so this is something that's super important, and I'm really glad that I'm going to try to say your name, but, you know, I'm going to fuck it up. Lorraine de Tilmirande? Anyway, I tried. ADM fleets are super important. One of the things that we have, and I'm going to herf about this a little bit, because since the enemy is spinning their wheels, like they are just pissing and shitting themselves at the gates of Fortress Delve. They don't know what to do. Their leaders don't know what to do. It is right now a crabs in a bucket blame game. That's one of the reasons why Vili is trying so hard to spin and whine and make excuses for the shit that he said repeatedly when he thought he was going to win this, bitch, is that while these guys piss and shit themselves at the front of Fortress Delve, we need to make absolutely certain that the 1DQ1 constellation, which they are currently failing to do anything with, stays at max ADM at all times. So as the war transitions to a phase where we are ganking the shit out of the puppies at every opportunity, and they are pissing and shitting themselves at the walls of Fortress Delve, we do need to make sure that the walls of Fortress Delve are as secure as possible. So please, 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 please do join in and participate in the ADM fleets. In these more quiet phases of the war, quiet in terms of the enemy pissing and shitting themselves and making excuses instead of attacking us while we gank the shit out of them, that kind of phase of the war, we don't want to lose track of the ADMs and suddenly, whoops, we had the hubris and we didn't do what was necessary, and then, oh gee, we pissed away victory, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Let's not do that. So please do join the ADM fleets. It's also a great way if you're like interested, if you're FC curious and like you want to just see what it's like to get out there and try to do something in a not necessarily super combat situation. It's a great introduction. I cannot emphasize that enough. So I appreciate you bringing that up such that I can herf a little bit about ADM fleets. Let's see. Questions. I'm guessing that Test is Next is a bingo card because I've got a question here about is Frat next. We're not going to talk about who is next, next, who is next, 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 or what have you. We're here in Delve. Obviously, Test is next. There is... I think that it is unwise to describe the priorities on our vengeance list, right? Everybody knows we have a vengeance list. It's something that we have always had and done. Test is number one on that vengeance list. And then who goes where in the priority order is something that I don't want to disclose on a fireside. But I mean, if you guys have been with us for any length of time, you know how we roll. We don't fuck around. If these people decide that they want to be blood enemies of us and say that they're going to exterminate Goonswarm and all of our friends, and how dare we be friends with each other, and how dare, you know, me be the leader of the Imperium, like, gosh, it's so awful. The puppies are going to make demands of us, and we are going to remember those demands, and then we will hold them accountable when their time on the list is next. So it should be fun. Would I say that this stage of the war is a Cold War? I would say no. I mean, it's interesting because I'm generally happy with the, like, I just in terms of narratives and herfs, like, I'm going to put this out here. So that's a really good question here. Obviously, it's not a Cold War because we're shooting each other. Obviously, it's not a Cold War because they're losing morale, they're losing people, and we're still here after fighting the entire galaxy for a goddamn year all at once. So that's cool. It's obviously not a Cold War. Obviously, we are not contained. But I think it's actually really good for us to have Vili and Piggles and Marcus Murphy and all of these people saying Cold War, saying containment, all this other sort of stuff. I think it's a dangerous narrative for them to use, and it's a dangerous narrative to the point that I'm confident saying this on a fireside because they're not going to listen to me and change their tune. The reason why it's dumb and bad is that it implies to their members that Delve is safe and this is all under control and that they don't have to worry about anything. And then when they actually log on and get in fleets, and then they have the op after op after op that forms out of T5ZI is diverted to go like shoot an Athanor in 8RQ, which is just like, Wibla's Athanors in 8RQ have become like the snooze button of this war. Essentially, what happens every single time is that they have kept a couple of structures around and available such that when they form up a strat op and they realize that they can't actually do what they had maybe wanted to do to begin with, or that they're just going through the motions, that they can then go hit the snooze button and go, oh, well, hey, guys, we're going to go do this and we're going to go shoot here. We're clearing out Delve, or, you know, clearing out Delve. Delve is safe. Da da da. And they never actually blow the damn thing up because they don't want the damn thing to actually get blown up, because then that removes their excuses from slamming into 3D or 1DQ1. So if they want to keep doing excuse structure shots while telling their members that we are contained and that thus Delve is safe, which allows us to gank their carriers, it allows us to gank their supercarriers, it allows us to gank their work walls, and in the scarcity era when these guys are like starting to run on empty, like, I can't say which specific one of the sappy alliances are going to run out of ISK first, but it seems pretty clear that they are beginning to run out of ISK. There's a really interesting piece of intelligence that came out on, I think it was Trash Talk Tuesday this week. And Sandrin Stone admitted that, and I don't know how many of them were sold, but I think this is significant. Sandstone admitted to Big Bill the Boss that Test had sold faction forts. Their faction forts were not blown up, right? Because when a faction fort is blown up, we used all the ones that we had as speed bumps to, you know, win the war against the entire goddamn galaxy all at once. They unanchored a bunch of them, ruining their priceless rigs in the process. And since their war bond drive failed, and we know it failed because they were unable to reimburse 15 plus of the M2 Titan, we now have some confirmation in public that Tess sold at least some of their faction Fortizars in order to try to pay off their debts, which they still failed to pay off because not all those Titans got reimbursed. So this is a very interesting situation for us strategically, because while the enemy is still insisting that we are contained and it's a cold war and they're all a bunch of winners and goons are losers and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, all of their squitting excuses, we keep seeing evidence of genuine bleed out. Now, I don't think that Vili or Progod give a shit about anybody. I mean, I know absolutely for a fact that Vili and Progod only care about Vili and Progod. They don't care about each other. They only care about themselves, who they are as people. And they don't give a shit about Test. They sort of were floating block level FCs who sort of attached themselves to Test because, you know, they wanted to be big fish in a small pond. And I think that this is fantastic for us, because essentially what you're seeing now is that Vili and Progod are going to be delighted to basically sell off Test's inheritance, their crown jewels, getting rid of their bankroll, whatever analogy you want to, you know, they're going to get Test to, you know, sell off their 401k, they're going to get a second and a third mortgage or whatever. Vili and Progod don't give a shit about Test Alliance. And that's great. I love it. I love T5ZI. I love them selling Test faction Fortizars. Like, these guys are going to drink every last drop of Test's milkshake trying to get rid of us. They're going to fail to get rid of us. And then Progod and Vili will just find themselves in another alliance. Maybe they'll join PanFam. Who knows? Who cares? The important thing is that they don't give a shit about Test Alliance, please ignore. They don't give a shit about their line members. And that is evidenced by the fact that they are willing to sell off regions worth of faction Fortizars while they just slam themselves into the wood chipper. And that's kind of the beauty of this situation here. While they are waiting for us to announce a counteroffensive or something such that they can then herf people and say, oh, the Mitanni says they're going on a counteroffensive, so we're going to stop that. So we're not going to announce it. We're just going to do it at some point. Maybe it's already started. Who even knows? But I'm not going to say it on a fireside. And While they're doing that, these guys are just, you know, stripping the copper wiring out of the walls to sell it for a chance to do something or other. You know, I love it. I love the fact that they're at a point where they dropped another Keepstar the other day. The EV Keepstar thing is just so amazing. It, like, it encapsulates the level of leadership we're seeing on the other side so well, I think. Because after like 2 weeks of saying, oh, it was so dumb for goons and the initiative to put down another Keepstar in the game in 3D, they mirror exactly what we did on the other side. And Gobbins is making these excuses about how it's strategic genius. Like, they are spinning their wheels while we gank the shit out of them and we shove all the things that they said about us down their throats. And I'm loving it. I'm perfectly happy to keep here doing this for as long as as long as it takes. As XUp points out, it's the minus. This is genius, especially because I talk about this shit all the time. So I'm biased. It might not just be genius. It's not genius necessarily, but it makes my dumb ass think it's clever. Is the Muffy Keepstar. It really is. They drop a lot of minus E Keepstars, but it doesn't get as explicit as a minus EV Keepstar in EV. Questions here. Did the Test line members get brainwashed? I mean, I think that up until last month, all the puppies had a reasonable expectation that we would fold and break. They don't really understand us, and that's fine. I don't want them to understand us. I don't want to like be like, here's a manual to explain how the Imperium actually works, sociologically speaking. I'm delighted that they don't understand us, and I'm fucking delighted that they were brainwashed. They believed, just like their leadership did, that we would give up, that we would run for Saarinen, that we wouldn't stand and fight. Because they never believed it when I said in the Casino War that the only reason why we withdrew to Saarinen is it got obvious that we would never be able to attack their source of cheated, unattackable income, and that the only way out of that solution was to essentially throw in the towel and then CCP banned the casinos. They thought that was just excuses, but unfortunately for them, that was the reality, is that I saw that we could not win in a scenario where the enemy had an unattackable infinite source of ISK due to people's gambling addictions. The casinos got banned, and I've been delighted with this war because it's an opportunity to show what I believe to be true from the beginning, which is that we could fight the entire fucking galaxy all at once, that we could do this, and that we could win it against all of them if they didn't have their fucking casino cheats. And lo and behold, here we are, and they haven't even cracked 3-tac-D yet, so... this war is not over by any means. I'm happy to keep ganking their carriers and super carriers and watching them bleed out financially and morale-wise for as long as it takes. Like, if they are want to complain about how they don't like the course of the war, they want to complain about the lack of, you know, activities on their side, then maybe they shouldn't have blued the entire galaxy to try to make the game Serenity 2.0. And we should never let them forget it, and we will never let them forget it. Our guys are entertained because we're murdering these guys all day, every day. And the guys that wanted, this is the other thing that's great, is the guys, those of us who like really burnt the candle at both ends that needed kind of a break to like go off to our fuck palaces or take little vacations or stuff. While the enemy is talking about containment and Cold War, that's giving the defenders a chance to recharge, right? Okay, great. High fives all around. So the bad guys are doing their town hall now. We're going to get some intel on that. I'm sure everything is fine. The goons are contained. But yeah, back to my original point. I got slightly distracted by making fun of them, which is very a challenge for me. My ADHD gets set off, and then I start talking shit about Villy and making funny voices. But to the original question was the containment Cold War narrative. I think that that is a good narrative for us. I want to encourage the sappy posters to keep talking about the Cold War and how we're contained, because it is directly at odds with the lived experience of their pilots that log on and get murdered by us all day, every day. Like, their line pilots in T5ZI who are still joining these fleets understand it is not a Cold War. They understand that we are not contained. So when they then see on these talk shows their supposed leaders parroting obvious lies, that's great. And I think we've seen the effect that's had on their morale, because their numbers keep going down, because their leaders keep publicly lying about the situation and refusing to acknowledge it, because their leaders are more interested in trying to convince the rest of Eve that they have actually won when they're busy losing the thing. And they're busy losing the thing when they had every single advantage that they could possibly have. They had the entire galaxy all together for a year now. And here they are. And the best they can do is containment and Cold War. Good luck. God bless. Please keep talking about how we're contained. Please keep talking about how it's a Cold War. I love it. I love it. Their line members hate it. It's great. It's fantastic for us. We're totally contained. Delve is safe. And in fact, maybe we should talk about how we're contained and how Delve is safe. Because if we talk about how we're contained and Delve is safe, maybe more of them will undock their fucking super carriers and work walls for us to gank. I don't know. I mean, you guys just roll with it however you feel. But remember, Delve is perfectly safe. There's no reason for them not to undock. Because, gosh, we're just so contained. I feel so contained. It's not really how I roll, but, you know, I can see the appeal for some people. Some people like to get tied up. I'm not going to kink shame. Internally, if I had to describe this phase of the war, the reality of this phase of the war, the ground truth of this phase of the war is we have Fortress Delve, and it's fucking great with our sort of last constellation here at the gates of the Imperial Palace. They're in front of the gates pissing and shitting themselves. And outside of that, it's welcome to the rice fields, motherfucker. Like, that's literally, like, this is the rice fields phase of the war. It ain't the Cold War phase. It is the VCBs phase. If you're old school, you remember, give missile or bump. We are in some serious VCB territory here, except that now our VCBs are not flying frigates. They're flying bombers and Kikimoras. So yeah, the floodplains, you know, what's a floodplain? If you think about it, it's a rice paddy, and those are our rice paddies, and they're in them, so they should get the fuck out. Alrighty, let me take a look for questions in general before I stop ranting and making silly voices in front of you all. And question for Dragon Zero, did they ever have the supercap advantage? No, and they knew they didn't have the supercap advantage because one of the reasons in 2019 we sent 1,100 Titans north to burn tribute. And they immediately uprooted and left to a deeper phase of the part of the drone regions, NC Dot did. So, you know, Vince Draken and the NC Dot guys knew exactly that we had 1,100 Titans. Progod and Villy and Gobbins, I guess, just assumed that that number was bullshit, or that maybe that would have gone away because we're all just crabs. And we always had the super cap advantage. That's why from the beginning, guys, if you remember, I said, we're going to do this. We're going to be grinding to sort of get their numbers down, get their numbers close to parity. And then there's going to be a couple of big super cap fights. You know, we tried the Inho thing that didn't work. Then we did the M2 thing twice and it did work. And then there would be some camping. And we did exactly what I said we were going to do. There was some camping and then, you know, a bit more thrashing. They did a bit more thrashing and now we're here we are. Really kind of happy with it all the way around. But no, we always had the super capital advantage, which is one of the other reasons why their strategy was so fucking dumb. All righty. I think that is going to be it for me today. I want to thank you all for coming and listening. I will be here again next week, same time, same channel. And we will have meta show and things like that normal next week. Yeah, keep on keeping on. Keep ganking these bitches. And high fives all around. Let's get back out there.